This week's topics, consumer fireworks and additional regulations there, and recent Supreme Court decisions. Our phone number is on the exchange, 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's get to fireworks first. And to be clear, we're talking about consumer fireworks, not the professional burst-in-the-air kind. There's a patchwork of local ordinances regulating these on the Oregon side. In Jackson County alone, Medford, Central Point, Eagle Point, Phoenix, and Talent allow consumer fireworks. Ashland and other cities do not. And even though the permitted fireworks do not fly or go boom in either state, they still emit sparks in a landscape that is normally hot and dry, and even more so with the drought on. Even Eugene, a very moist place by comparison, just passed an ordinance narrowing the date window in which fireworks can be used. So the question for you, are you comfortable with the current fireworks regulations where you live? Would you like to see them strengthened? And if so, how? Join us on the exchange on this Vents Day, 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Now to the U.S. Supreme Court and its recent rulings. The court ended the term with a splash, delivering the Hobby Lobby ruling this week that allows corporations to deny insurance coverage for contraceptives, certain contraceptives, for certain religious reasons. The court also ruled against the president making recess appointments unless there's a real recess of the Senate, ruled against buffer zones between abortion protesters and clinics, and ruled against allowing police to search a suspect's cell phone without a warrant. Oh, and there's the ruling that says public workers who do not belong to a union do not have to pay fees like union dues once removed. There's a whole lot to comment on. Let's hear your thoughts on any of the individual cases or any overall assessment you may have reached on the Supreme Court in this particular term. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Numbers again, 800-838-3760 in the whole listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. Back with your emails and phone calls in a minute five. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week's topics, the fairly narrow one of consumer fireworks and whether there are additional restrictions needed on those, and the very broad discussion of Supreme Court decisions made this term and what you think of those, particularly the most recent ones. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email here right off the bat from Stan in Ashland. He writes, the Supreme Court is an unelected body which arguably usurped congressional and executive powers early in our history by asserting a power of judicial review, a phrase absent from the Constitution. That power has generally been used to favor the 1%, robber barons, captains of industry, Wall Street moguls, etc., and that power has made legal controversies out of what are in truth political ones, allowing unelected officials with life terms to make critical decisions that belong in the arena of democratic politics. Perhaps it's time to consider a remedy provided in the Constitution, Article 3, Section 2, Paragraph 2, and Stan includes this. It points out that in all cases affecting ambassadors, other public ministers and consuls, and those in which a state shall be party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. Trial court is the way I read that. In all the other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction, both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. And so Stan in Ashland writes, in other words, the Constitution gives the court only limited original jurisdiction, leaving the definition of appellate jurisdiction in the hands of Congress. Congress can, for example, pass an antidote to Citizens United that does not allow review by the court. We have become accustomed to the mistake of seeing political issues as legal questions, therefore getting away from that error would be a paradigm shift. Among its consequences could be an increase in the accountability of politicos through a reduction of their ability to pass the buck, as in, that's for the court to decide. There's already plenty of opportunity for lack of accountability in the very structure of our federal government. I, for one, would be interested to hear what other listeners think about the big SCOTUS picture and hope you will be, too. Stan, thanks for that thoughtful comment. Very much appreciate that. That's from Stan in Ashland. What are your thoughts, just generally, on what's going on with the Supreme Court of the United States, or SCOTUS, as we prefer to call it in some cases? Generally, the Supreme Court, but more specifically about some of these decisions just made, Hobby Lobby's a big one because they're thinking, oh, wait a minute, if you say you don't have to provide contraceptive coverage to your employees through their health insurance because of your religious feelings, what else is then included in your religious feelings? And notice, too, that in the Hobby Lobby decision, the Supreme Court did the same thing it did in the Bush versus Gore case in late 2000 and said, this really just applies to this case alone and doesn't have any broader implications, which maybe it's happened a lot before, but in my lifetime, the Supreme Court has only been doing that since Bush versus Gore. Let's get your thoughts on Supreme Court behavior generally and more specifically this term. And then our lighter topic this Vents Day is fireworks and whether additional restrictions are needed on the consumer fireworks, given that it's generally hot and dry and it's a drought year. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Okay. Say, I'll make a general comment about the Supreme Court.
All righty.
The Supreme Court is not a perfect institution. It's made up basically of political, people who are appointed for political reasons. We know what their views are before they ever get on the court, usually. And they pretty much toe the line for the whole time that they're in there, generally speaking.
Toe the party line, you mean?
Yeah. And so, for basically, I think our Supreme Court is useless unless it's dominated by one group of political appointees or the other, and then they can just force their opinion on everybody. And I think that our legislature, our Senate and House, United States, advocate. You know, they don't do their job. They're just a bunch of, for better lack of word to describe them, scumbags. And so, you know, we get this kind of terrible government, and I don't know what to do about it, but there you go. That's my opinion.
All right. Thanks for that, Dennis. Appreciate it. It's a lot of people who get a little frustrated with the Supreme Court, and yes, there's a lot of scorekeeping. You notice that most of the decisions do tend to go 5-4 these days. There are the four confirmed conservatives, the four confirmed liberals, and then Anthony Kennedy, who's often seen as the swing vote. Occasionally, Justice Roberts steps into that role. Chief Justice Roberts, John Roberts, steps into the role of swing vote. So it's been interesting to watch the math. I understand from reading some material about the Supreme Court in the days when it was making decisions like Brown versus Board of Education that led to school desegregation and some other momentous decisions that Chief Justice Earl Warren, former governor of California, was really careful to work the members of the court to see if they could come up with unanimous decisions because it was that important for him to have the Supreme Court appear united and therefore not political like the House and Senate would tend to be. And so he often wanted to push them toward getting to a unanimous decision, something they could all embrace, rather than, as we find with the current court, the Roberts Court, 5-4 decisions left and right. Do the actions of the Supreme Court trouble you, either in the short term or in the long term view of how the Supreme Court is used in America? A judicial review, point well taken from Stan and Ashland, does not appear in the Constitution. It was something that one of the original Chief Justices, John Marshall, instituted and has become the law of the land de facto ever since. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts on the Supreme Court or on fireworks, consumer fireworks, and what restrictions, if any, might need to be added there. 541-552-6782 in the Rogue Valley, around the region, 800-838-3760, and by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's another email from Jacob in Gold Hill. He says, regarding fireworks in this area, except for concrete areas of the cities, I think they should be considered a crime once the rains stop, i.e. after May 15th every year. Regarding SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, further evidence that it is imperative that all eligible voters vote. Hopefully most will see the value in voting Democratic or liberal. Anything else, especially for racial minorities, women and gays, is obviously an expression of self-hatred. Well, some strong words from Jacob and Gold Hill. And thanks for your thoughts, Jacob, on both fireworks and on the Supreme Court. Here's Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. Yeah, we think we have a constitution, but actually what we have is precedent. Whatever five people in the Supreme Court decides, that becomes the law of the land. It's really sad.
And precedent changes, too, because as has been pointed out in the decision involving public employees and union dues this week, the Supreme Court basically said, okay, that ruling we made in the 1970s, we got that wrong.
Well, it was also, it was a very big deal when Brown versus Board of Education happened because it was overturning Plessy v. Ferguson, and it was considered really momentous that the Supreme Court would overturn it. A previous precedent.
Right, right, to go back on itself, basically, although 55 years later in that case.
Yes, well, it's much less time now. Many years ago when I was taking freshman political science, I had an instructor from England who pointed out that the Supreme Court was political. It was just 20 years behind the times.
Interesting.
Which, whether it's like that now or not, I don't know. This was in the 60s.
Could it be argued, though, that in the 50s, for example, with Brown versus Board of Education, the Supreme Court was ahead of the times? It was certainly ahead of the legislative bodies.
It was politics of 20 years previous.
Oh, okay.
Is what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Earl Warren was governor of California when California Supreme Court, I believe, made discrimination in public schools illegal. And when he got on the Supreme Court, which he got on because he dropped his bid to become the Republican nominee for president in 1952 in exchange for the next Supreme Court opening, should Eisenhower get elected.
Yeah, a bit of a deal with Eisenhower, for sure.
And Eisenhower asked what his worst mistake was, and he said appointing Earl Warren to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I believe it was stronger language, the biggest damn fool mistake I ever made.
Yeah, something like that. But at any rate.
Thanks for the
thoughts.
There
it is.
All right, take care of yourself. Bye. Let's go to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about the Supreme Court rulings and the Supreme Court more generally, and we're also talking about consumer fireworks and what restrictions might need to be added there. Go ahead, Pam.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Oh, I went to Jamie instead. Got you backwards. Hi, Jamie in Medford.
Thanks for the sex change, Jeffrey.
Painless.
Anyway, a couple of random thoughts, a little tongue-in-cheek, but possibly they might catch on. Well, first of all, no one's going to be able to stop people from importing illegal fireworks from down south and up north and whatever. So
the ones that do fly through the air and go boom.
I'm thinking about a public display,
like
something to set an example for the rest of the citizens. In a drought zone, in a drought period of time, instead of fireworks, why don't we have like a laser light show with accompanying music to go along with it? And I also had this strange notion about possibly phosphorescent and luminescent bubbles. You could do that locally, and not only would the only thing would be missing would be the sound, because bubbles obviously don't have a bombs bursting in air effect.
Right.
Yeah. And just to finish up, also tongue-in-cheek, but I guess you get my drift so far. Instead of the Supreme Court, why don't we just have 9 random number generators with a constitutional bit attached to them and see what happens. Maybe the 21st century, we could let the robots take over for a little while instead of fallible human people.
I would be surprised if somebody hadn't already done some computer programs that would run the decisions through a...
There's an algorithm for it, Jeffrey, somewhere. There's an app for it, too, I guess.
Got to be at Amazon. Thanks for that, Jamie. Yep. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about the Supreme Court and about fireworks.
Well, I like Jamie's ideas. I like the laser show idea, and I like the robot.
Robots for the Supreme Court, sure.
The Supreme Court lost me when the Citizens United was decided. I mean, it's so corrupt what money has done to our politics and to our lawmaking. It's shameful, and you know, to me, we should almost start over from scratch. The fact that they're calling money free speech, and the wealthiest people and corporations are basically buying politicians, is just fundamentally the worst thing you can do for the planet and the people. And so I don't have any respect for the Supreme Court until they get money out of campaign finance, because it's totally corrupted our politics.
I wonder if this court would ever even consider anything like that. You know, the court is not immune to the fact that the public is not very, very happy with what it's doing. I saw a poll this week. The Supreme Court's approval rating is somewhere in the 30s, which still makes it... quite a lot better than what Congress usually comes up with. But the fact is, the Supreme Court in the past has had to react to the public feelings about the work it's been doing.
Right. So, but they don't really have to listen to the people, because the people don't elect them. The people, you know what I mean? So they're kind of immune from what the public believe and what the public want, which is kind of true for the politicians, too, because they can be bought and paid for. So most people can't afford to give thousands of dollars to whatever politicians they want elected.
Right.
So So that's really the root of the problem, is they are not beholden to the people. They're beholden to big moneyed interests. And then for fireworks, I think, you know, I went up in the woods yesterday, and I passed this unofficial shooting range, and there's like three guys dressed in camo with AK-47s. And they're all pumped up, jumping up and down, and I don't know. It's just, I don't think that you should be able to shoot your guns all over the place. I don't think you should be able to put, explosive-sounding fireworks all over the place. It's very disruptive. It's scary. There should be designated areas, and that should be it. I just do not, you know, understand how it's legal to be shooting guns all over the place.
Or fireworks, for that matter, either.
Or okay. Fireworks. I mean, fireworks aren't as bad, but the gun thing is just, it's crazy that people can shoot their guns all over.
All right,
but the fireworks are so disruptive for the people, children, animals, and it does. It goes on all week long, and then on the New Year's Eve. And so that's my opinion.
All right, thanks for that, Pam. I appreciate that. And I think it was in the Oregonian, I read a letter to the editor from, and it was one of actually a couple like this, but people saying that the fireworks, even the ones that don't go kaboom, that make the little screaming sounds, scare their dogs so much they have to tranquilize the dogs for days around the 4th of July. The dog will be hiding under the bed otherwise and just sort of unhinged completely. If that's been an issue at your house, let's hear from you. I'd be curious to know what you think should be happening with fireworks. That's one of the reasons we got this discussion going on Vince Day. If it's an effect on your dogs, your cats, whatever pet you might have around the house. So we're talking about consumer fireworks controls and about the Supreme Court's recent decisions and the Supreme Court more generally here on Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Join us at 800-838-3760. That'll work anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Joe and Eugene. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
My comments is related to the recent fireworks ordinance they passed here in Eugene. I'm glad he did it, but from a practical standpoint, I think it's virtually unenforceable because of the, the volume, figuratively speaking, that goes on involving these fireworks. But
yeah, what it really does is narrows the window, right? It just says 16 days a year you can shoot off fireworks around the 4th of July and around New Year's.
Sure, but the people that do this don't really care. Each year I made a virtual prisoner in my own home because people down the street use these fireworks that they don't get in Oregon. They get them from Washington because they're louder and make, more spectacular booms and lights with them. And they know what the law is, and they have virtually no regard for it. I doubt if the police came do anything. I've seen a police car drive right up the street, almost right through a one-foot pile of these things that they've extinguished and just keep on going. So you have to ask yourself that, well, they have the ordinance and the laws and what they do with them.
Right, okay, so that doesn't think the ordinance is going to do much good?
I hope it does, but I'm not very hopeful.
All right, thanks for that, Joe. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day, fireworks and the Supreme Court, the topics.
Good morning. Happy 4th of July. Fireworks, prohibition. What kind of booze would you like?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It is unenforceable. You have to hope that people are going to behave in a responsible fashion. Out at my place in the county, I'm going to have a bucket party. Everybody brings their own booze and brings their own bucket. And whichever of the morons around me sets the fields on fire, we'll go fight it.
So the buckets will be full of water.
Of course. Yeah. Well, booze. They bring whatever they want. They're free people. The Supreme Court, one of your fellows touched a little bit, came close to touching on it. The Supreme Court is the long political game. Mm-hmm. It's the long game in the political system. All things in government, all things in human interactions are political. Franklin Roosevelt added two seats to the Supreme Court so he could stack the court when he had a court that ran against his views.
He wanted to pack it, but he never was successful, correct?
Didn't he add two?
Nope, I think it's been nine for a long time.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
It's supposed to be an odd number.
I know I would have to go back and look it up.
He wanted to get to 13, I think, and that's when the members of Congress said, forget it, pal.
That's a good lucky number. In any event, what you're seeing now reflects the the power of it, the courts, and it acts as a dampener on the wilder behavior of both the executive and on the wilder effects of the Congress, and it's doing just exactly what it's supposed to do. Pretty distasteful in terms of what's going on, but again, the long political game is going here, and the long political game is running. For those people who say, let's pull it all down and start over, be very careful what you wish for.
I understand the concept of the long political game. The Supreme Court is going to smooth out the peaks and valleys, in essence, and make sure that nobody gets too far out of whack, that the checks and balances don't get too far out of balance. I understand that part of it. But when the Supreme Court, for example, in the Hobby Lobby case, as in Bush versus Gore, says that there's really no continuing, I forget what the wording was, but to the words to the effect of, our ruling just affects this case. Don't view it as a precedent for other cases, which is really interesting wording for a body that's got the long political view.
Well, and that's almost impossible to actually have happen. That is a fig leaf. You know, I work in compliance and enforcement, and I deal with a whole body of law, both with the state and the federal government, that's driven off of these decisions. We're enabled by, you know, quick civics lessons. We're enabled by the legislature, but we're really driven, when you get down to it, by where we're quibbling with people, and those quibbles best get resolved at the appellate level, at the state and federal level. In the state and federal courts, and that's where we're really driven in the end. And they can say this is non-precedential, but it will be used by a clever attorney, and that will happen. So what you are paying for right now, you know, you've been in the Valley for 30 years, 20 years. What you are paying for now were the votes of you and your peers 20 to 25 years ago.
I do think about that sometimes and think, oh, my God, what was I thinking? So thanks for that, Paul. Always good to talk to you. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We've got a couple minutes left to talk about these items in the news. Fireworks, consumer fireworks, and whether additional regulations are needed. I mean, come on, most of us live in hot, dry places, and it is also a drought year. And the other topic is the Supreme Court this year's set of decisions, and more generally, the role of the Supreme Court. Join us on the Exchange on Vince Day at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. The Sacramento Bee weighed in on the decision in the Hobby Lobby case in an editorial called Supreme Court Lets Companies Impose Religious Beliefs on Workers. And to skip down to the conclusion here, the Sacramento Bee writes, how curbing the health care options for women in mostly low-paid jobs protects the religious freedom of a group of company owners is as unclear to us as it was to the four dissenting justices. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who wrote the dissenting opinion, called it a decision of startling breadth that allows corporations and other business entities to opt out of any law, saving only tax laws, they judge incompatible with their sincerely held religious beliefs. I'm going to take a little sidetrack here because you notice that opinion talks about closely held corporations, where a small number of people actually are the majority owners of a corporation, closely held and sincerely held religious beliefs showing up in the same opinion. So now back to the Sacramento Bee's editorial. It makes a certain sense for churches and religion-based nonprofits to be exempted from the contraception law, but it sets a troubling precedent to allow money-making companies to claim strong religious beliefs and deny lawful benefits to their workers. The challenge now is for President Barack Obama to come up with an alternative for hardworking women who should not have to choose among family planning, their personal privacy, and paychecks because of the narrow view of their bosses. That the editorial from the Sacramento Bee, taking exception to the Hobby Lobby case. Let's go to Charles in Cottage Grove. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Oh, hi. Quick plug for fireworks. I am in favor of fireworks, both legal and illegal, but be safe. Create a safe zone, have plenty of water around, and just be safe. As far as the Supreme Court, well, that's, wow. it's enshrined in the Constitution. I like Riley versus California. You want to look at my cell phone? Get a warrant.
All right.
That's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks for that, Charles. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Always good to hear new voices here on the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Thanks so much for taking part. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley.